On the phone with us, Brent Podowski, columnist for The Hill, longtime Washington insider. He's got the ears of a lot of Democrats on Capitol Hill. And I want to know what you're thinking today.
What I'm thinking today is we got a rough fight on our hands that just got rougher.
First, tell me what you think about the House bill as Nancy Pelosi introduced it to us today.
Well, the House bill basically says that the public option will be organized based on a negotiated rate between the public option and the medical profession, not based on Medicare, which is what would be better from the point of view of we progressives. That, in my opinion, is a concession that had to be made, and it's not that bad. We can work with that. In the reality of events, the public option would have enough 10 million customers. They'd have plenty of leverage to negotiate a good rate with the drug companies and with the rest of the health industry. So it's not the way I would have preferred, but it is something that we can work with.
Now, is that enough? Does it still retain enough robustness for those progressives in the House who said they would vote against any legislation without a robust public option? Does that hold on a second? Does that satisfy them?
Well, I believe it probably will satisfy most of the progressives in the House in the end. I believe, all in all, it probably should satisfy them in the end, even though it's not our best case. The real threat in this game is that the Senate cannot pass a public option of any kind, and that the Senate ends up going with what I call the evil trigger that is not a public option, that would basically allow the insurers to abuse customers for 3 or 5 or 7 years. And the truth of the matter is, as Chuck Todd reported this morning on NBC, the president, contrary to what he's been saying, in fact, prefers the trigger for whatever reason over the public option. He wants his Republican vote. He's willing to give that up. That's what they're whispering privately. He is hurting those of us that want the public option. And I think we need to clear the air and have some integrity to this discussion. And that's what's really going on. What worries me the most is the combination, Nicole, that the Senate does not have the votes for Reid. We don't have the votes for the public option. And the Senate passes a trigger. They go to conference with the House that includes the Pelosi provision from today that I think is minimally okay. But then what they're going to say in conference is Reid won't be able to get the 60 votes for the House provision even, that the conferee should accept the Senate trigger. That's the scenario that worries me. That's why I'm so annoyed, frankly, that the president and the White House are telling NBC News on the record that they prefer the trigger. I think that's terrible. And that's what should worry every progressive in America. The discussion we need to have right now is at what point should we just say no? We won the election in 2006. We won the election in 2008. We won a president who promised transforming change. We won the public option debate, and the majority now supports us. We have made concession after concession after concession, and enough is enough. At this point, we should say no. And then the question is, what is that point? Personally, I would say that if the conference report comes back with a trigger and no public option, everybody should call every liberal member of the House and the Senate and say, at that point, if that's the best they can do, vote no.
Now, let me ask you procedurally how this happens, because Harry Reid said the Senate bill has a public option. It's off at the CBO. Doesn't the Senate have to vote on that first before they go to conference?
Yeah, but they need the 60 votes to end the filibuster against that.
Right.
And in the reality of how the Senate works, if we don't have the 60 votes because of Joe Lieberman, Olympia Snow, or any of those others, if we don't have the 60, they're going to have to take the public option out, because they won't be able to end the filibuster against the bill that is including the public option. That's the procedural situation that we're in right now.
But so right
if they
now
have the 60, we win. Other than that, they're going to have to take it out and do a trigger, and that's what we want to avoid at all costs.
Right. And but right now it looks like Lieberman is the only one, and you never can tell what's going on with these guys. I think Lieberman's an attention whore and just wants the media on him. And, I heard an interview with Senator Harkin today, who is the chair of the HELP committee, who said, I promise you, I guarantee when it comes down to that vote, Joe Lieberman will vote with us. Now, obviously, he can't guarantee that, but he said it on the air.
Well, I certainly hope he's right. And there are a few others that are a potential problem. There's Senator Blanche Lincoln from Arkansas.
Right. There's Ben Nelson.
There's Ben Nelson from Nebraska.
There's Mary Landrieu.
It's Mary Landrieu from Louisiana.
Right, and I know Evan Bayh was making some noise, too, but now apparently he's backed off on that because his people, his constituents spoke up today, or the polling spoke up.
I think Evan Bayh was talked to, and I think a lot of people aren't happy that Evan keeps injecting himself into these situations, but he's okay now.
Right. So, but in a historical perspective, nobody has ever done this. It has ever been the lone dissenting voice in their own caucus who helped the other party obtain a filibuster. So, you know, Joe Lieberman is just being the idiot that he is and is getting attention right now and saying, everybody look at me, I'm the important one now. It's not so much Olympia Snow, but it's me, and I'm a jerk. And hopefully he'll come around. Now, if he comes around and they pass it, they vote for cloture, and then they pass this on the floor of the Senate. Then when they go to conference, they have the public option there. White House be damned.
Oh, if the Reid provision passes the floor of the Senate, we're home free, and that's why that was a big breakthrough. I am a little bit more concerned than Senator Harkin seems to be, because these insurance boys have a lot of money, and a lot of Democrats take that money, and you've got four or five of them right now who could, any one of them could kill us. Any two of them together would kill us.
Right.
And I just worry, you know, that with the president behind the scenes telling them it's okay to do the trigger, which I think is outrageous, in effect, I think we have a bigger problem than Senator Harkin may seem to think.
Well, as do I. And the problem I don't so much think is Joe Lieberman. I think it's President Barack Obama. Where's the guy we voted for?
Oh, that's exactly it. And beyond that, you know, we got to get Democrats that are willing to stand up. I heard Alan Grayson, the congressman, who speaks very strongly about this, sound a little bit weak to me when I heard him on the Ed Schultz show. And I don't like that. I don't think this is the time to say we might pass a bad bill. And if we pass a bad bill, we can always clean it up in a few years, which is what I heard him say. And I thought that was outrageous. And I'm not a big fan of Democrats, candidly, that go from television show to television show and radio show to radio show, yet don't show the toughness and fight that it's going to take to win. I don't want to hear Alan Grayson or any other liberal talk about the conditions of we'll fix a bad bill later. I want to get a good bill now. And they got to fight for it. And they shouldn't be running around doing the entertainment circuit if they're not willing to roll up their sleeves and take a position and make a fight. And there's a number of them that are going around that just simply don't demonstrate the toughness. And so, you know, I like some of the things Alan Grayson said, but I thought he was weak on Ed's show. I see other Democrats out there that sound weak. They got to say, if a bill is not a good bill, if it has the trigger and not the public option, we are voting no. And if anybody wants to blame somebody for the fall of health care, you can blame Joe Lieberman, blame Olympia Snow, blame Ben Nelson, and blame those guys. We have made enough compromises for a lifetime. And I want to see every Democrat out there that says they are liberal, especially the ones that do the talk radio circuit and the cable television circuit, I want them out saying, if the bill isn't strong enough for us, we'll vote no. That's the only way that we can beat back what is a ton of insurance industry money.
I so agree with you. And actually, I had Alan Grayson on the air this morning. I guest hosted the Montel Williams show, and Alan Grayson was on. Unfortunately for me, my timing, I was a half hour early. He was on with me at 10:30 this morning, and Nancy Pelosi's announcement didn't come till after that. But I'm going to play, after this interview, I'm going to play some segments of that, and I think people will hear why I got a little frustrated with Alan Grayson today. Because he didn't give me a straight answer to anything. And that's the politician speaking, not the guy who was supposed to be the congressman with a backbone, which is why he became a household name in 3 weeks. I didn't see that guy. I saw the politician out doing the circuit, as you said, and it made me angry. The other person who does that is Anthony Weiner. And, you know, what really galls me is I think the one guy who's been saying he's stuck to his same fight all along is Dennis Kucinich. And Dennis Kucinich's amendment, the state single-payer amendment, got stripped from this bill today without a word. Just it's not in Nancy Pelosi's bill.
Well, Democrats have to learn to toughen up their act. There is a portion of the male anatomy that I probably can't say on this show. Democrats need to grow a set of them.
Yes, they do.
And on the public option, There should be no compromise with the trigger. That's a fraud. That's a hoax. That's a sellout. I don't want the president telling people that they should prefer it. That's outrageous. That violates what he's told us. I don't want to hear Democrats talk about, well, we can take a bad bill and we can fix it after a few more people die and a few more people are pillaged and cheated by the insurers under a trigger. You don't take a bad bill and wait to fix it 7 years from now or 5 years from now. We don't count the number of people that will be abused before we fix it. You stop the abuse in the bill. That's why we're here. That's what we're doing. And enough is enough is enough.